I'm Kevin Kelly. The show's Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. On the show today, we have Jeff Machota, who is here to represent the 4th Annual Nature's Table Reunion, which is happening not this weekend, but the following weekend in Champaign and Urbana. Nature's Table having been a restaurant, cafe, that hosted a lot of music in the 80s and 90s, early 80s and into the 90s, early 90s. And we'll hear a little bit more from Jeff. They've not been around for a while, but this will be the fourth time they've done a reunion show with lots of jazz and blues. And then on the later portion of the program, we'll talk with Barbara Hedlund and Terry Marr about Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf, which is being presented in a woodwind quintet edition with various activities for families and children of all ages this coming weekend in downtown Champaign. Stay with us on Live and Local. Was Charles Mingus, a tune called Tijuana Gift Shop from the disc called Tijuana Moods, heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And good Tuesday to you. I'm Kevin Kelly, and our show focuses on area performances of by local artists and visiting artists, and I think we might have a little of both on our first segment here. The Nature's Table reunion concerts are happening this weekend. I'm sorry, the following weekend, the 30th and 31st of July at in downtown Urbana and downtown Champaign. And here to talk some about it is Jeff Machota, whose voice I hear with great regularity pretty much every week on WEFT, hosting the Wednesday morning prayer meeting, which is from 9 to 11:30, I think.
That's correct.
Every Wednesday, and he does a great job with the show, and I've enjoyed it a lot. And he, I guess, used to work at Nature's Table.
I worked at Nature's Table from the fall of 85 until 91 when it went away. So,
and, you know, I read it was like May of 91, but I got here and came down the first time in July, and I believe that I walked in there.
Yeah.
Is that possible? You were gone. Must have been some other place.
The university took possession and locked it up after the final big weekend.
There must have been some other. Was there another eatery next to it on Goodwin?
There was Coslow's up the street.
Maybe that was
no,
it.
No, that was Trino's.
Trino's. Yeah. I just remember walking to some place that had a big hole kicked in the wall. At least I have that image of it. Not Nature's Table.
Not when it was open.
Maybe that's why the hole was kicked in the wall.
It could be.
Wasn't exactly open. Well, tell us about the place. I'm going to assume that many of our listeners don't know about Nature's Table.
Well, Nature's Table was a restaurant and club that was around from 1979 until 91. We served vegetarian food and other food, popular lunch place for a lot of people on campus. And then at nighttime, it became primarily a jazz club, but also a home to blues, folk, African music, a variety of different musics over the years. And for a lot of people who were at the U of I and in the U of I jazz programs, which was unofficially a program then the School of Music, it was a lot of place for them to interact with people from the community and a lot of different people in the community to put on performances 7 nights a week. There was music there 7 nights a week, whether there was 10 people or 200 people in the audience. And a lot of people look back at their time playing there and being there fondly. So after being gone for quite a while, we decided a few years ago to put on some reunions, and now we're up to the fourth one.
The having music 7 nights a week is something that still doesn't happen anywhere in town, I don't believe.
Pretty much not anymore.
Although the Iron Post is getting close.
They probably do close to 7 nights, if not at least 7 acts. Sometimes they do two things in a night. So,
was Nature's Table at the time one of the few places hosting jazz in Champaign-Urbana?
Yeah, there were different clubs during different times. Zorba's used to do jazz, but they had stopped at that point pretty much. And there was a few places, the Autumn Tree, which is long gone, a variety of other places had done music. But pretty much by the late 80s, early 90s, there wasn't a lot of other places doing jazz consistently. There were a few places hosting it. So there was a lot of jazz at Nature's Table, as well as, again, the other stuff, too. We had blues, folk, African.
How many of the performers were generally local, and how often did you have guest artists coming in from outside?
Well, I would say it depends on which year. There was always people who came through from out of town, but as some of the earlier musicians graduated or moved on, they would come back, so they'd be out-of-town musicians coming back. So I'd say often on the weekends there'd be out-of-town bands coming through, but more often it featured people who were in town, whether they were affiliated with the U of I or whether they were from the community.
Occasionally what you would call big-name acts coming through, or not very often?
Sure. Someone like Groove Holmes, organ player, he would come through every once in a while. Von Freeman would come down from Chicago with some of his people. So then people who moved on who became bigger, Lawrence Hobgood would come back, Ron Duar would come back, other people who moved on to the Chicago scene.
Well, that was going to be my next question. How many of the folks who played there with some regularity we now hear of as having made it? And you mentioned Lawrence.
Well, Lawrence is somebody who definitely moved on from there. A lot of the players that you might not necessarily know their names as household names, but who are in Chicago as first call jazz musicians have played there. And actually, some of them are coming back. The Kelly Brand Quartet that's headlining the Jazz Night, Kelly Brand on piano, Kelly Sill on bass, Art Davis on trumpet, and Phil Grateau on drums. They were all around in the late 70s, and they came back in the mid 80s to play a lot. And they are pretty much first call for a lot of the bands in Chicago, a lot of times backing up artists that are traveling through town. So there's a lot of people like that who have moved on, and some who are just, first call musicians and big bands and other things like that. And again, it depends on which eras. People who were around in the earlier years tend to remember those bands more versus the later years.
And for those who may not know the lingo, what does it mean to be first call?
Well, that means, say, an artist is traveling through Chicago and doesn't bring a backup band with them, and they're a recording artist. Oftentimes, these people will be the people that will be called to play the backup band or be the rhythm section.
And they get called often enough, and the word gets spread around.
Yes, and they're known as Kelly Sill, the bass player who'll be in the headline thing. He's played with a lot of artists over time and backed up a lot of them. So he's somebody who's well-known, especially in Chicago. The Jazz Showcase in Chicago would do that a lot. They'd bring in a headliner, not necessarily with a band.
Which is one of the amazing things that always amazes me about jazz musicians in general, that you can actually do that. Some string quartet that comes through is not going to, with any success, ask for the local violist to sit in. It just isn't going to work.
I think besides being some shared repertoire, there's a common language, I think, that they know, and they can successfully do that.
Are you a musician at all? I just know you as a host.
I am not. I'm not a musician.
How long have you had the jazz bug?
Since I was in high school, I guess.
And what appeals to you about jazz?
What appeals to me about jazz? Well, I guess I was growing up just a fan of music in general. And I think what really appealed to me was seeing the performances live. I grew up in the Chicago area, and I got to see a lot of stuff for free. When you're underage, it's hard to see stuff that actually costs. That's in clubs. Well, it's in clubs. And then coming down here even more, I guess that solidified working at Nature's Table, seeing music, live music 7 nights a week. I really learned to appreciate it and appreciate the musicians and the art that goes into it.
And how do some of the musicians look at you? I mean, as somebody who has championed them in a way, by playing their music and talking about it a lot and hanging out in places where they play.
Well, over the years, I've booked a lot of different venues. I booked Zorba's for about 15 years or so, up until a year or two ago. I booked the original Blind Pig Jazz Happy Hours. I booked a variety of places that no longer exist. So I guess I've had a rapport with the musicians over the years, and I guess someone who respects the music and is not just trying to make a dollar off it, somebody who respects it, enjoys it, and wants to see the musicians get a fair break.
Well, and you give them a chance to play.
Yes.
Which they otherwise wouldn't get to do. Are you doing any bookings right now for anybody?
I am not, outside of the Nature's Table reunion right now. That's pretty much it.
Well, you brought along some recordings of some of the groups that I guess are going to be here, or mm-hmm. some that have
yes.
been in the past.
Yes, yes on both.
Yes on both. Who are we going to start with?
We're going to start with Kelly Brand, who's bringing her quartet down from Chicago. She's headlining the Friday night at the Iron Post gig. And this is something from her sextet that she put out a few years back. The song's called Uprooted.
On Live and Local. It's the Kelly Brand Quartet, and I'm going to let Jeff Machoda back announce that tune, since it's what he does every week anyway on WEFT.
Well, that was Uprooted. That was by the Kelly Brand Nextet. That came out in 95, but it had some of the players that you'll be hearing if you come out Friday, July 30th. Kelly Brand was featured there on piano, along with Kelly Sill on bass, Art Davis on trumpet, and Phil Grateau on drums. That quartet will be performing, and there was also Ryan Schultz on bass, trumpet, and Jim Gallerotto on tenor sax. But the quartet will be coming down and performing from starting at 9:30 on the Friday night at the Iron Post.
So the next tet, or the extra players, is what makes it the next tet as opposed to
Correct.
The quartet?
Correct.
Does she still call it the next tet in general, or only when she adds beyond the quartet?
I think when it's beyond the quartet. When I saw her actually at Jazz Fest last year, and she played with the next tet, which is usually just a septet.
The Jazz Fest in town?
In Chicago.
Oh, in Chicago.
Yeah, she was playing on one of the stages up there.
So is she mostly in Chicago, or is she playing a lot more around?
I think in Chicago. She plays a lot of gigs in Chicago, and a lot of the musicians teach as well. And I think she's I can check her bio a little bit.
Well, that's okay.
I brought some cheat sheets with me.
Oh, sure. Well, I've always got those.
I've appreciated Kelly's. Kelly's a great composer and arranger, and has done a lot of great performing over the years, and I've pretty much managed to pick up her CDs. And I was checking out, we have a naturestable.net is a website we set up a couple years ago with some archival photos and where we put up the information about the current Nature's Table reunion. But we also started Jeff Helgeson started it, trying to recreate the schedules of bands that played there. And I had a bunch from the mid-80s on, so it was kind of just a raw format, but you can search through and see at least who the headliners were.
I started to look through there, and my eyes were going bonkers because there's so many people.
Well, Kelly Brand and Kelly Sill and Phil Grateau were playing with Ron Duar in the 86 and 87. They came down quite a bit, and I was probably at those gigs. I saw so much, it's hard to remember everything. But they were playing, so they would come back from Chicago. And Ron Duar is actually performing in the band before that. It's a reunion of another band. This is the Jack Webb Jazz Band, and they're a band that plays hot music. They're actually a band that play within the first week of Nature's Table opening, and they're reuniting with pretty much all the original members, Ron Duar, Guy Sinise, John Sexton, Mike Miller, Dan Anderson, and then Scott Mordecai. So they're going to be performing from 7:15 to 9, and they were a band that played around in Champaign-Urbana quite a bit, and Terry Masser, the owner of Nature's Table, saw them at the I think it was the Ground Round, which was Pickles for many years and was a Greek restaurant recently and is now an Asian restaurant.
Oh, the Ground Round. I forgot that preceded Pickles.
Yeah. So I think Terry had seen them there at some point in the late 70s and invited them. Nature's Table didn't start music in the very beginning of it, but pretty early on. And Terry invited the band to perform, and they became one of the bands that played there in the early years. And they haven't reunited since the original Blind Pig was still around, so it's been a while.
And it was called the Jack Webb Band at the time?
Yes. Yeah.
And what's Terry doing now? I know he had a couple of restaurants over on Philo Road. And
he had Sweet Betsy's for quite a few years. Terry keeps his fingers involved in a bunch of different things. Terry's around town. He's working at Marianne's Diner a little bit right now. He owns some property in the area and just kind of keeps busy and makes sure to get out and sees live music as much as he can. And he gets excited every year when we do these reunions because a lot of old friends, his family comes in. He's now a grandfather.
Oh, really?
And so the kids come back usually, and now maybe the grandkid will come for the grandkid just turned one, so it might be too soon.
Well, he might come, but whether he'll remember anything that he comes to see. Although his reaction to the music, Terry might have priceless.
She,
sorry, I don't know. Why did I think he? Who knows? Who do we have next? Does it happen to be Jack Webb or?
No, we don't. Unfortunately, I don't have any recordings. I mean, I know there's some that exist. We do have the traditional jazz orchestra, which is opening up, and they play in town quite a bit. But they're bringing in a couple out-of-town players. So it's going to be Morgan Powell, Randy Salmon, Mike Miller, Dan Anderson, and Tom Berkner. So some overlap with the two bands. They actually started out playing at Nature's Table under a previous incarnation as the New Golden Rule Orchestra, which was a project of Larry Gushy from the U of I. And they kind of morphed over the years. They play a lot in town. And we do have a recording from them if we wanted to hear. It's going to be the Weary Blues, and this is them performing sometime at the Iron Post in the past year or so.
And Tom Berkner, who's the cornet player, he used to run the jazz program it was a full major.
Correct, he did, and he was in town quite a bit, and he is now in Southern Illinois where he teaches.
Tom Berkner and company with the Traditional Jazz Orchestra here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. My guest is Jeff Machota, as we're talking about the Nature's Table reunion coming up next weekend, July 30th and 31st in Urbana and Champaign. Thank you. the traditional jazz orchestra, one of the groups that's going to be playing at the Nature's Table reunion on the 30th and 31st of July. And the reason I'm focusing a little ahead is that I'm not going to be here next week and won't have a chance to tell you about all these things going on that particular weekend. And I wanted to be sure to cover it this week. Jeff Machado is my guest on this portion of Live and Local. And you're the booker of these bands. Is that right for this event? Or you've helped to decide who's going to be on and so on?
We have a committee. It's Terry Masser, who was a former owner of Nature's Table, Jeff Helgeson, a musician, and Paul Winky, who used to work here at WILL,
sure.
And myself. We're the committee of four that work on this together.
Well, so. how did you choose the particular groups of all of those? Must have been hundreds of people who played over the years.
Each year we spend many months brainstorming, trying to figure out who we would like, who's available, what would work out. And we've changed venues over the past couple years as well, a couple times, trying to figure out what works best for that. And for the jazz, since the Iron Post does so much jazz there, it's kind of a natural for doing the jazz night there. And so we fit things in that will work over there. And we're also doing a blues and folk night, and that one we're doing at the Cowboy Monkey, which used to be the original Blind Pig over there. So we kind of partially, as we have done these over a few years, some bands come to us and say, hey, we'd love to play, which is the case with the Mudhens, which were a blues band that used to play here in the 80s, and they played a lot at Mabel's and the Alley Cat, which is now...
Where was the Alley Cat?
Fat City.
That might have been before my time.
Well, Fat City is around now.
Fat City is there, yeah.
But the Alley Cat, yeah, the Alley Cat's been gone for a long time. Mabel's has been gone for quite a while now. But they were a band that played a lot of those places. They played Nature's Table as well, though that was a much smaller place. But they have not played together. They're a blues band, and they have not played together since the original band broke up in 1990. So
it's been a while. Year before I got here. So, yeah.
So they're all getting together, the original players, except the sax player was not able to make it. He's out in North Carolina right now, so local player Peter Rubel is going to play. But it's Bruce Rumney on guitar, Scott Portsline on bass, Tom T-Bone Miller on drums, and Kevin DeForest on vocals. And people who have been around have probably saw they used to play a lot of street parties, things like that. They were pretty much everywhere in the late 80s, early 90s.
So when was this record? We're going to hear them next, right?
Yeah, this was recorded. Well, Bruiser got it to me from some vinyl that he dubbed. I'm pretty sure this was recorded in the late 80s. And this was the original Mudhens. And this also includes Doc Lacouris on harmonica, who was in a later version of the Mudhens that played into the early 90s as well.
And what's the tune?
We're going to play the song Let's Go.
And we're visiting with Jeff Machado here on Live and Local. Wonder if that was Bruiser at the end.
It may have been Kevin, but I'm not sure. It was one of them.
In any event, it was the Mudhens, and I'll let Jeff Machota do the rundown of who actually was playing on that.
On that, I'm pretty sure that was the original band, so that was Bruce Rumney on guitar. On bass was Scott Portsline. On drums, Tom T-Bone Miller. Kevin DeForest on the vocals, and Bruce Bethel was on saxophone, and Doc LaCouris was on harmonica on that track. And that entire band, minus Bruce and minus Doc, will be performing at the Nature's Table reunion, the Mudhens reunion. Peter Rubel will be playing tenor sax. That's Saturday, July 31st at the Cowboy Monkey, opening at 8 o'clock with the Freak Brothers, reuniting with Kevin DeForest as well. And then Friday night is the jazz night at the Iron Post from 5 to 7, the traditional jazz orchestra, 7:15 to 9, the Jack Webb Jazz Band, and 9:30 to 12 or so, the Kelly Brand Quartet.
So that's all the Nature's Table reunion on the 30th and 31st.
You can go to naturestable.net to see that info.
Yeah, and see a bunch of pictures of people. They're not, I guess some of them are labeled, or at least I found some that were labeled, and I'd heard of Guido Sinclair for years and finally saw a picture of him. I wasn't around when he was playing, probably. So he died in
92 or so.
But
he wasn't playing much then.
So, Jeff, thanks for coming in. Letting us know about this.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. And if you got anything else coming up where we can do a little cross feeding off the radio stations, we can certainly do that. Jeff Machota hosts the Wednesday morning prayer meeting, which is a jazz show every Wednesday from 9 to 11:30 in the morning. It's a great show. He does a wonderful job of presenting the music, and I enjoy hearing it every week. So thanks very much for coming in.
Well, thanks for listening, and thanks for having me.
Naturestable.net to get the rundown and where everything is happening and when. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. Coming up, a conversation about Peter and the Wolf being presented this Saturday in downtown Champaign.
Peter and the Wolf, a musical tale for children of all ages, in which each character is represented by a different instrument of the orchestra.
And that is the very opening after the introduction of Sergei Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf, with Christopher Lee as the narrator and Sir Yehudi Menuhin conducting the English String Orchestra, augmented with winds, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our show is made possible today in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting audiences to explore the newly announced 2010-2011 season. Tickets are on sale now. More information can be found at krannertcenter.com. And we have support today from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 337-7704 or at thecorkscrew.com. And you can see and hear a performance of Peter and the Wolf this weekend. You have two opportunities on Saturday, 2:30 and 4:30, at Class Act, which is located in the old music shop on Neal Street in downtown Champaign. It's being presented in an unusual edition, which we'll hear about in a moment, but it's a fundraising event for the Prairie Ensemble. There's going to be lots of auxiliary activities, family-friendly event, and here to talk about it with us is Barbara Hedlund, whose brainchild the program essentially was, and Terry Marr, who's one of the animals, well, in this case, not an animal, a human animal represented in this performance. She'll be playing the bassoon. Thank you both for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
So, Barbara, give us the overall on this particular event and how you concocted this idea.
Well, actually, this idea came out of a performance that Terry and our colleagues from the Prairie Ensemble had performed in the schools last year, and then they recently performed it at the opening of the Summer Parks concerts in Peoria. And I basically thought about how successful it is and the reaction of it, and I said, how about we do this again at Class Act? I'd been to Class Act for a grand opening of the Iola Rose Boutique, and looked at the stage and I looked at the space and thought, you know, this is a perfect place to host a program, a small chamber music program and a little theatrical program. And so the seeds of it sort of began then. And it's evolved into this major production now with children and family and face painting and coloring activities and music and PowerPoints and refreshments.
And costumes.
And costumes, yes. For sure.
So we're encouraging people to come in costume.
They can come in costume if they want. There will be costumes for the children that they can try on and dress up and play at Class Act during the performance or before or afterwards. The musicians will be in costume. Terry's the one who's most transformed. Maybe I should let her tell you about her ensemble because it's really stunning.
Yeah, Terry is the bassoon in Prokofiev is... represents the grandfather of Peter.
Yes, I'm the grouchy grandfather, and so I am decked out in a wig, curmudgeon hat, baggy pants.
What is a curmudgeon hat?
Well, it's a hat that says number one curmudgeon.
Oh, it says that on there.
It does. It does. And a shirt that says, what part of no don't you understand?
Ooh.
In case there's any question as to... The thought process of this particular grandfather.
He is that kind of a grandfather. He doesn't want to let Peter do anything, least of all go beyond the gate.
That's right.
Which, of course, he does.
Of course. That's why kids love it.
Otherwise, we'd have no story. That's right, because all the kids want to go beyond the gate.
And come back a hero.
Well, I wonder if they think about the hero part.
Well, they should, because at the end, Peter leads the triumphant procession, dragging the wolf behind. And so this is kids' greatest dream. Not only do you disobey grandfather, you come back a hero.
He is a very clever boy, that Peter.
Yes.
We heard in the introduction Christopher Lee introducing all of the instruments, and I thought we'd maybe do some of the other ones as they're introduced in the course of the story as well. It just happens that we have another recording with another narrator who, along with Christopher Lee, I think of in the horror sense, but they don't sound very horrible. Christopher Lee, of course, having been one of the greatest Draculas in the old Hammer films. You knew that, surely, no?
I did not know
oh,
that,
well,
actually.
Oh, well, apparently I'm more of a vampirophile than you guys. Oh, yeah, he was in some of the early Dracula movies.
Okay.
After Bela Lugosi, and much more fearsome, I always thought. And, of course, he was the wizard Saruman in the Lord of the Rings films and was particularly frightening in that role. But our narrator for this next version with the Vienna State Opera Orchestra was Boris Karloff.
Oh, interesting.
And we just happen to have those. So here's the segment representing the bird who will be played, so to speak, by Mary Chapman on the flute at the performances this Saturday.
On the branch of a big tree sat a little bird, Peter's friend. All is quiet, chirped the bird gaily.
Was the segment introducing the bird. Mary Chapman will play the flute, which represents the bird in Saturday's performances of Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf, the Woodwind Quintet edition. Who found this edition? Or Terry, did you know about this? Or is it something I should know about and hadn't? Or?
Marina Antline, our clarinet, our cat, got the edition from somebody at the university.
And this was the first time you've played it, was when the...
When we did it for the schools.
For the schools, for the Champaign Urbana Symphony schools program. And you were in that one as well.
Yes.
How did that go over with... What grades were you presenting to?
We went through grade five. There were some performances that was just for lower grade levels and some for the whole school. So it went up to grade five. And everybody loved it. You know, the kids that were older enjoyed, you know, listening to the instruments because, you know, they either are starting to play instruments or they're thinking about it. And here they were up close and personal with a bunch of woodwinds and a horn.
Were you doing segments of it or did you do the whole
piece? We did the whole thing with narration. I should say that our narrator then and now is Ronald Hedlund, who does a great job.
I imagine he would. He's a now retired professor of voice at the University of Illinois and the spouse of our guest Barbara Hedlund, who also is a cellist and personnel manager with the Prairie Ensemble, for whom this Saturday's performances are a benefit. Tell us a little bit about Class Act, which is the location where we're going to be playing. I'm not going to be doing anything other than milling about.
No, you said you were going to do stage crew, so
I can do that too. Yeah, I can do whatever you want to do.
Luckily, with a small ensemble like this, we won't have too many setup issues. Class Act is an interactive educational and recreational activity center that started up, 2 years ago, I believe, or a year and a half ago?
Just about 2 years ago.
In the site of the old music shop, and children can come and they do play acting and face painting activities. They put on costumes, and there's a small stage there. They have birthday parties and other activities. So it's a nice use of the space. And in part of the site is the Iola Rose Boutique, which has a lot of children's and family-oriented clothing items and jewelry. And Terry can talk about that a little bit more since she has a personal connection to it.
Yeah, your daughters are doing that.
It's owned by my daughter, Karen Marr. It's a small boutique that features fairly unique items. Almost everything in the store is made by local craftsmen at a very reasonable price. Almost everything is really geared for women and children. People coming to this performance, if they have, you know, their daughters with them in particular, there are some really cute hair bows by Bo Sheep and hand-crocheted bracelets and hairbands by Kate Lafitte. There are unique items for crocheted and other items for babies. Beautiful earrings and handmade necklaces and some clothing for women. And it's kind of stuff that you won't find anywhere else in town. Some of them are just plain beautiful. Some of them are lots of fun. But they're all pretty unique, mm-hmm. and they're all made locally. And they're all very affordable, will not break your pocketbook.
your daughter should pay you for marketing there. and those will be available at the event, as well as will snacks be available for purchase. Mm-hmm. But there's all these other activities, face painting and so on, that the kids can participate in, and families can, you know, dads and moms and grandparents can have their faces painted too, I'm sure.
Sure, if they want to. And it's, you know, it's not just for children. It's for children of all ages and music lovers. So you don't have to be under 21 to come to this event and
Peter and the Wolf is for everybody.
Peter Wolf, yes.
Yeah, who doesn't love Peter and the Wolf? Every time
I hear people don't know, the piece is only about 25 minutes long. So if you have, you know, very young children and you want them to have a first exposure to instrumental music, this isn't going to, you know, tax their attention span. And we absolutely welcome squirming.
Squirmers are allowed. Yes. And if they get squirmy, they just go over and can do a maze, or they can make finger puppets that are thematically related, by the way, or they can make a wolf mask, things like that. So we connect the dots to, I won't tell you what character they're connecting the dots to.
We'll just know. Keep we don't that want to do that.
And I should say that this also is a very affordable event. It's only $12 for adults and $6 for children, and it is supporting a very worthwhile cause, which is the Prairie Ensemble, which is Champaign-Urbana's professional chamber orchestra. It's a difficult time for all arts groups, including the Prairie Ensemble, and so anybody that hopes, you know, wants to support this, you know, kind of eclectic classical music, come and support us and have a good time.
Well, we want to hear, we want to be sure to introduce here the instrument that Terry, the character that Terry is representing, since she is here after all, Terry Mars, the bassoonist in the, first bassoonist in the Prairie Ensemble, and also will be playing on Saturday in the quintet version of Peter and the Wolf, and she represents the grandfather.
Just then, Grandpapa came out. He was angry because Peter...
And I think we've heard all of the characters represented, excepting the hunters. And you'll have to just go to the full performance of Peter and the Wolf this Saturday, 2:30 and 4:30 at Class Act, downtown Champaign, located on South Neal Street in the old music shop, or the site of the former music shop. Free Saturday street parking. And the instrumentalists representing these various characters are Mary the Bird Chapman on flute, Aaron the Duck, Jakubiak on oboe, Sonia the Wolf Castle on horn, Terry the Grandfather, Mar on bassoon, and Marina the Cat Antoline on the clarinet. And the narrator for the proceedings will be Ronald, the narrator, Hedlund. And my guests on this portion of Live and Local, Barbara Hedlund and Terry Marr. And for more information, they would go where?
They can look, if they're a Facebook user, they can certainly go to the Facebook page, which talks about Prokofiev's two versions, the Prairie Ensemble office and email. You've got the numbers in front of you. Maybe you could help us out.
Sure. 355-9077 is the phone number. 355-9077. That's 217. And email is ensemble, ensemble, at soltec.net. That's soltec. Thank you both for coming in, and best of luck on a great performance on Saturday.
Thank you so much. And there'll be tickets available at the door.
Sure. And support for our show today comes apart from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with a wide array of foods from around the world, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. Showers and thunderstorms are in store for the rest of the day. Some of the storms could produce heavy rainfall. Our high is supposed to be around 86, but we're only sitting at 73 right now. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms are likely, mostly cloudy, with a low of 72. Tomorrow, a chance of showers and thunderstorms under a mostly cloudy sky with a high temperature around 87. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville.